Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 189. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And it's been a while since we have actually recorded together. It's probably not been as long since you heard an episode, but last time you and I spoke about movies was, what, before Christmas?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
Feels like a long time ago now. I know that. Chris, you've probably seen, it felt like I was looking at Letterboxd and I'm like, man, Chris saw everything.
I did go out and see like the three big, kind of big releases right before Christmas. So I didn't see any of the stuff that came out on Christmas. Vice or that terrible looking Sherlock Holmes movie. I saw the big ones.
I've seen none of those, but we're going to talk about the three of them tonight. I guess we'll get into it in a second. You know, I have seen some stuff that is newish, so we'll get into that too. But actually, I just thought of this before we just get into it. Like, Chris, did you see the trailer for that movie, Us?
That's the new Jordan Peele.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
It looks good.
It looks really good. I love what they did with that song. Like, I got five on it. And then, like, they made it real creepy, like, do, 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 do. Like,
yeah.
So great. It definitely looks really cool. And, you know, I just, like, seeing on Twitter, like, some of the influences he took, like, from The Shining and stuff. I'm like, it's so crazy because, like, I never would have expected that Jordan Peele would be, like, a serious horror director.
It seems like he's turning into one, that's for sure.
Yeah, like, and it's, like, weird because, like, even after the success of Get Out, I thought he would have used that to pivot to, like, I don't know, drama or, you know, whatever, comedy, like, a big comedy.
Yeah,
like,
I kind of expected him to bounce around a bit, kind of a... Like Danny Boyle did, you know, he like started out with horror, but then sci-fi and drama. And I kind of expected him to do something like that, but he seems like he's serious about doing the horror bit. So,
yeah, I'm all for. Like, honestly, like, it looks like he like almost stepped up the game here. Like, whereas, like to me, anyways, like, this creeped me out even more. At least the trailer for Get Out, like, where I was just like, this is like, what the fuck? There's copies of people, like, you know, like, so it looks like he's like really leaning into it. I hope it's amazing. I can't wait to see it. Anyways, I just thought that I actually had been like thinking to myself, don't forget to mention that for like weeks. And so
I'm glad I remember. If you know, if you're too lazy to like check the Google machine to find the trailer, I think on Christmas, the Movie Dudes Twitter posted the trailer too. So,
yeah. I guess we'll start with. I didn't think we were going to start with this, but it kind of makes sense because it's kind of pretty new. It just came out on New Year's Eve on Netflix, and that's Taylor Swift's Reputation documentary. It's just a concert film from the last night of her last tour.
Okay.
For the Reputation album. I don't know about you. I'm a pretty big Taylor Swift fan.
I enjoy Taylor Swift. I've never seen her live. Tickets are too expensive, so.
I have not seen her live either. I wanted to go during this last tour. She came to like Soldier Field in like I think June, like late June. And I was like legitimately like considering buying tickets, and you could get nosebleeds for like $150, you know, so it'd been like it probably would have been close to $1,000 day for me and my girlfriend, just, you know, when you add everything up.
Yeah, it just gets ridiculous.
Yeah, and so like I thought about it. I wanna do it. My girlfriend is more just like, you're a fucking idiot, like what's wrong with you? Like, I'm more of, like, the bigger fan or whatever. And we didn't do it. And then this, I heard about this, like, documentary coming out on Netflix, like, a month ago. And I was like, that's amazing. And I was, like, telling my girlfriend the day of, I'm like, you know what's so cool? We're going to watch this documentary. It's It's going to be basically free. It'll be so great that we haven't, like, wasted all that money going and blah, blah, blah. And this documentary is amazing. It's awesome. It's a blast. Chris, you're going to love it. And it made me so fucking mad that I did not fucking buy tickets to go really? See it, dude. It was, it, dude, it's just like a level, like, first off, like, I think she is, and again, like, so this is where, like, you and me and whoever could differ. I think she's, like, an amazing fucking pop star, like, and a great songwriter. Like, you just, yeah, yeah. I think she's, like, yeah. One of those greats. Like, she's up there with Prince. She's up there with Bruce Springsteen, all that, right? And then, you know, the show she puts on is something that is, you know, it's up there with any of the biggest acts you've ever seen, but better than that. Like, it's just like, it's like a Super Bowl halftime special for fucking 2 hours. And that's how long this thing is. It's a little over 2 hours, right? But she's just like, and this is kind of spoilers, I guess, but we're talking about a concert film. There's like one part where she's like, everyone in the audience, you guys know you have like wristbands on right now. Well, they all light up. And as she says, like, they all light up, like the whole crowd lights up. It's like all their wristbands lights up. And she's like, I did that because I wanted to be able to see you all. Like, and she just, you know, like she does this a lot throughout the whole show where she's like thanking everyone who came out. Like, you know, I'm happy you came out like on your Saturday night to come see me, like to spend your time with me and your money. And right. I'm happy to my crew, like they sacrifice so many, like they miss their families and this and that. Like, it's just, she does that over and over throughout the show. It's almost like a theme that plays the show where she's so grateful for where she is. Like, I thought that was a really cool, like classy touch, right? But yeah, as she does this whole thing where she makes the whole crowd light up, all of a sudden she starts floating out over the crowd and like fucking like touching hands with people and stuff. I'm just like, this is fucking crazy, dude. Like, I don't I've seen a lot of rock shows in my day. Like, probably not as many as some people. Probably not as many as you. You've probably seen more than me. But it's one of the best rock shows I've ever seen. Whatever you want to call it. One of the best concerts I've ever seen.
Right.
And you get to see me giving it a full recommendation of 5 stars. And it's not, I don't think it's just my bias. Like, I've seen a lot of people, like, I've seen people on Twitter be like, you know, I didn't really think the album was as good, but it's actually better than I thought. Like, people that were fans to begin with. Anyways.
That's something that a live show can do, though, is like, you know, you hear studio recordings and it's not like, all right, like, it's fine. Like, but you end up skipping over tracks. But then when you're at a live show, like, you can't escape it. You can't skip it. But if there's a good stage performance going on, it's something that can turn your mind.
You could connect. Like, sometimes the live performance can make you connect with it even more. So, like, and I think that is what this is doing for people. Like, on top of, like, it's just, you have to respect the pure showmanship. Like, it's just, she puts on a fucking show. Like, it's awesome. You know what I mean?
But
like,
that's something I do like about, like, I, you know, you said at the top, like, I've never seen her live, but I have seen, like, concerts of her. She did like the Red Tour. She did a concert video. Like, she does. She puts on like a fucking amazing stage show. That's like more than just like a singer songwriter getting out there on a stage. And like, there's something to say about that too, but I love the spectacle of like a big blown out pop stage production. It's really cool. So I'm glad that, this one turned out good.
Yeah. You're really enjoy it. And, like, kind of bouncing off of what you just said, I mean, something else that came out recently, I'm not going to go into a full review of it, was the Bruce Springsteen Broadway show they put on Netflix. And that's really good, too, okay? But if you had to put the choice before me, like, you pay $500 to see Bruce Springsteen on Broadway or Taylor Swift in a stadium, I'll choose Taylor Swift in a stadium every fucking time. I'm sorry, dude. Like, it's way more entertaining.
That's anybody listening to this, that's saying a lot for Jeff, because he loves Bruce Springsteen. Like, I wouldn't pay $500 to go see Bruce Springsteen regardless, but definitely. So,
absolutely, especially like, and I don't know if you checked out that Broadway show at all. Like, it's pretty slow. It's long. It's even longer than Taylor Swift's show. It's like a full 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it at all? Like,
no, check I haven't it out. Seen
It's like, you know, it's really good, but it's like very slow. It's like a episode of Storytellers, but really long, you know. Anyways, Chris.
Yeah.
There were movies also that also came out in theaters.
There were a trio of I don't know if I want to call them big movies, but I guess they were all competing for the same.
They were this year's big Christmas movies. Like, yeah. And honestly, like, I'm looking back at this list now, I'm like, I guess. Anyways, I haven't seen any of them, so I can't say.
Yeah, but. So one of my daughters, I had actually talked just about everybody into going to see Bumblebee on Christmas Eve, but my one daughter was not having it, and she wanted to go see Mary Poppins, which was the original plan.
And, so that's what happened.
That's what we ended up going to see.
Yeah.
Do you like Mary Poppins?
I think so. I haven't seen it since a long, long time. So
okay, but they're. I mean, just I guess from the fact that it's 50 years old at this point or older, like things have permeated through like pop culture, you know, dealing with Mary Poppins, you know, the umbrella, her coming down from the sky, Spoonful of Sugar. No, that's not it, is it?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Helps medicine go down.
Yeah. Like supercalifragilistic.
Yeah.
There's the song that the guys on the roof sing.
Yeah, I can't remember that. Like, I can't remember. Like, so she was like a nanny or something. Like,
yeah, like she just shows up because these people are having a hard time. like,
wouldn't that be nice, Chris?
Right. So yeah, just like some magical woman shows up and makes everything right.
It's Emily Blunt. Hi.
Takes place like 20 years, something or like 20, 25 years after the original, like right before right as the Depression is kind of hitting the world. And she shows up to the Banks house, and Banks were the family in the first one that she helped out. And she's now here to help out George, who was the little boy in the original. Like, he's having a hard time. His wife died. House is going to get repossessed. And she's here to help take care of the children and also kind of, in a way, get him back on track. And because he's been neglecting everything. It's everything that you expect from Mary Poppins, minus any of like the catchy magic songs. Yeah. I mean, like there's some magic there. Like, I think Emily Blunt does it. Like she's very good in it. There are some very visually arresting scenes.
Oh yeah, I remember like with some animation and stuff, yeah. Right? Like that was like that was in the original too.
That was in the original, like, where Dick Van Dyke and
kind of like very early mixing of animation, yep. and like do they try to replicate it to make it look like that old style of mixing the two, or is it like kind of done?
There's this bowl that cracks, and they go into the bowl. It has drawings on it, and they go into the bowl, and they're like, so they're on the bowl basically. So, they're matching the art style of what the characters on the bowl were. But yeah, it's very similar. It's not, it's more of like a watercolory.
So like does it almost feel vintage, like old, like when you're looking at it, or does it feel cutting edge? Like that's what I'm.
None of it feels cutting edge. None of it feels like, I don't know. This is a weird movie. Like,
well, like that, I think that's neat. That's something that I think would be neat. Like, if it felt old like that, you know.
It's like caught in the middle. It's like, oh, they're hitting all like the notes that you remember from Mary Poppins, but none of it is as memorable.
is good. That's what I heard. I heard like the songs just aren't there. They're not as good.
They're not. They're fine. Like they're okay. And like there's a couple ones that are all right. I could see maybe this latching on. Like nothing though was like super standout. Like you weren't coming out of the theater singing any of the songs. And I mean there's a giant dance number in it that's pretty cool looking, but also I don't even remember the song to it. The most fucking memorable thing is when Dick Van Dyke shows up as he's this old banker that's kind of been pushed to the side by his nephew, and he comes back and he does like a cameo for a couple minutes. Like that was fun. Like he hams it up a bit. I don't know. It's fine. Emily Blunt's fine. She's super pretty. She looks like Mary Poppins. My big problem with this is, though, is that this is the second movie that Disney's done this year that kind of touches on adults having forgotten what it's like to be children and in the process hurting their family. And I think that Christopher Robin does it better.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's something about like those weird looking bears and tigers and like the stuffed animal type feel come to life that Christopher Robin did that this doesn't have. This is more like trying to do what Mary Poppins did, but just do it again.
I'm like picturing a mash of those two movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's same themes, like very, very much the same themes, where Christopher Robin was maybe a little more serious up until the end. This is way more playful. It spends more time with the children, whereas Christopher Robin spends time with Christopher Robin as an adult. So it's different perspectives, different way of looking, but it's very similar themes. And I honestly came out of this going, that was okay. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again.
All right. I'm going to push you on the stand here. If you're talking to me, like, would you say to me, like, should me and Melissa go see it in the theater or just, like, wait to see it?
I would just wait. Like, okay. Honestly, I would not recommend anybody, like, go out to see this unless, like, you're, like, huge Mary Poppins fans.
I mean, we can see it for free, but, like, it's more about the fact of we probably only go to see one movie a week at best.
Right.
So it's, like, It is still like, yes, it's quote unquote free, but it's like it is about which movie is it going to be? Yeah,
right. I mean, and there, like, we'll get to them as we move on with the show. But I saw two better movies, so
all right, yeah, we'll get to them. But first, I want to touch on a movie. We'll see how I feel about it, and that is just premiered on Netflix. You know I'm a huge Black Mirror fan, right?
Yeah.
You've seen all of it, haven't you?
I believe so.
Probably, I'm assuming.
I haven't seen what you're going to talk about, though.
Yeah, all right. I'm a huge fan. Like, I love that show. I do think, you know, some episodes are better than others, but that's the nature of, like, a Twilight Zone type show. I do see, like, there's, like, this kind of current on Twitter and shit that are like, oh, that show sucks, and it's, like, all about, yeah, technology is bad, but, like, I don't know. I think if you really do watch the show, like, it is doing cool shit. It's, like, a cool version of Twilight Zone. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. Like a modern take.
Yeah. And we do not have a fifth season. It's coming, I guess. But instead we got kind of a surprise movie event called Bandersnatch. Which is
a terrible name.
I actually don't mind it. It does kind of sound like what it's supposed to be, which is like an 80s video game, like an Atari era video game. Okay. Try to say that three times fast. that is based on like a choose your own adventure fantasy novel that's like, you know, thousands of pages long because it's like this fantasy novel, right? That's, you know, choose your path, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, choose your own adventure books were like a thing. Like I was totally into them. I used to like check them out from my library all the time. Like, usually they were really short. Like you could read them in one sitting and it was like, just go to page 36 and then you're at the end. Right. I don't know about you. Like what's your experience with like that genre outside of like, obviously we could get into like there's Telltale's video games and all that shit, but like, have you ever read choose your own adventure books?
Oh yeah. I used to read them all the time as a kid. I loved them. Like they were,
yeah,
they're stupid. Like
yeah,
turn page, you died. Like,
yeah,
damn it.
Yeah.
Like it was a, you would like skirt back, like check over your choices and like find a new path.
And you know, it's like a neat gimmick. And what this thing is a neat gimmick, I guess. But oh my god, I was so disappointed in what this thing is. So like, it's about this young kid who fucking is applying to work at like Atari, essentially. I forgot the name of the company, and you know, to produce a like a first person choose your own adventure, like early version of an RPG, right?
Right.
For the PC, and it's supposed to be based off of this book in the universe of the show called Bandersnatch, like, and that book was a choose your own adventure book, right? And this, it's so fucking, like, it's like, we're one of those Russian dolls where the doll is inside the doll is inside the doll.
The like, nesting dolls.
Yes. And it's like, that's what the show is. It's like super meta. Like, okay, so, you know, there's a guy who wrote this book, this choose your own adventure book, and he went crazy writing it and he killed himself. And now we are watching this video game programmer, like, kid who's trying to make a video game off of it and is going crazy and might kill himself. And the higher level is that is we are his god and we are deciding what he's doing. Like, you know, nobody is in control of anything. Everything is like, you know, there's someone above you pulling the strings, right?
Right.
That's the whole fucking conceit of this. And I think it's like it is like a neat idea and you could do a cool thing with it. And supposedly like this movie could like, there's so many different ways it goes, like could go. And like, I only like saw two different endings before I decided I didn't need to see any more. Like I thought this movie was terrible. Like, I thought it was, like, I, a lot of preamble. I did not like it. Like, I thought there's a lot of, like, interesting ideas. And, like, I'm into the idea of what it's doing. And it just, like, for me, ended after, like, 40 minutes into it. I was just like, okay. And then, like, oh, that's the end? Like, I started doing the credits. I was like, this is, it just, I'm sorry. Like, you commented on my letterbox. You're like, just get good. And maybe, like, there's a way to play through the movie that makes it good. But again, like, I think all of that points to the fact that there's a reason that movies are movies and video games are video games and books are books. And some things just work in their medium better. You know what I mean? Like, I do think that, like, in my opinion, like, this, I still think it's, like, because I grew up on those Choose Your Own Adventure books, there's part of me that's like, no, you could still do it good if you did it. Like, if you wrote well enough, like, if the story was good enough, and it feels like they really tried here, supposedly, because there's, like, fucking hours and hours of shit. But from the slice of that I've played or slash watched, I was not very impressed. Like, I actually kind of hated it. So, good luck, Chris, when you go try that one out.
That's disappointing.
You almost got to try it out, right?
Like, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, that and Bird Box, like, I feel I have to watch both.
I was going to try to watch it before this episode, Bird Box, because that it is like this phenomenon. Because it turned into this phenomenon, I'm like, I don't even want to see it. I'm so sick of seeing Sandra Bullock with a fucking blindfold on her face.
Yes,
everything on everywhere. Yes,
it's a meme everywhere, and it's
like dumb. Like, oh, you guys saw a movie where people were blindfolded, and you decided to copy that, like. That's the dumbest internet thing I've ever like heard of yet. So it annoys me a little bit.
Agreed. I'm with you. Like I feel like I might want to wait on it because I'm not gonna like this at all.
Because I want to be removed from my hatred of the meme
culture
around it. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. No. I'm with you on that.
Anyways. What else did you see this week?
So then I went and saw Bumblebee.
Wait. Before we move on, I'm gonna give Banter Snatch 2 stars. And just like to end it, like just last thing Chris to say about it. I'm sorry, like to backtrack.
No,
it's okay. The last thing to say about it is like one of the very first decisions you make is like, what cereal do you want to eat? Frosted Flakes or this? And it's just like, it makes no, like, you know, there's so many things like choices like that in it that feel really dumb. Anyways, moving on. I'm gonna get 2 stars. I think it's terrible. Like, I think I'm being generous giving it 2 stars for its experimental nature. But other than that, it fucking was a bad execution. So sorry.
Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
So yeah, I went and saw the exact opposite of Bandersnatch. Bumblebee, not a choose-your-own-adventure movie.
Something good, and it's linear, and it like yeah.
It's linear. So I don't hate the original Michael Bay Transformers movie.
I do.
I mean, I think it's a fine, mindless, big budget action movie, like with robots. Yeah. Robots punching each other.
I mean, to be fair, I didn't finish the first one, and I never got beyond halfway through the first one. So I can't even fairly say like what I thought of the first one.
I mean, like, if you didn't like that, then like you certainly weren't gonna like the other four that they did. So
probably. Yeah.
The problem with that film, that Michael Bay movie, that's over a decade old now, is that the human characters in it, and they spend a lot of time with the human characters, suck. They're not enjoyable people to be around.
Yeah.
Nothing against Shia LaBeouf or Megan Fox, but they're just not, like, there was no chemistry there at all. They had this, like, massive amount of, like, human characters in those films. Which takes away from what the hell you want to see in a Transformers movie, which is fucking robots. Bumblebee makes it smaller, tighter, all the way around. So Haley Steinfeld is the human character, because you can't just have robots running around beating the shit out of each other. They condense the cast of robots down to Bumblebee and like a couple Decepticons. It takes place in the 80s, so has an awesome soundtrack.
Immediately it makes it like 2 points up no matter what. Like, yeah, a little bit better no matter what.
Like, all the music is like era appropriate. All the fashion is era appropriate. All the technology is era appropriate. Like, I have a great nostalgia for that era. So some people are going to be like, no, whatever. But like, for me, it hit on all those notes.
Yes.
It's more fun because of that too. Like, it's more carefree than something going on here. The stakes are a whole lot smaller. Like, Yes, if the Decepticons find Bumblebee, they'll probably destroy Earth, and they're definitely going to kill like the Autobots. But it's besides the point. It's really what this movie is a robot buggy, because he has gone back to be a Volkswagen Beetle in this, like he was in the original cartoons. It's a buggy and its owner, her, so it's like a girl in her car. And the car just happens to like be a giant robot that can like smash shit up. It's fun. It's funny. Some of the action is actually pretty well done. It gets a little bit out of hand, maybe towards the end, where some things are a little too close shot or too CG reliant, that it becomes a little blown out. But for the most part, they're able to frame things well. The human characters are fun. Haley Steinfeld is a joy. Bumblebee itself is kind of a blast, like has a great sense of humor. They've written that character really well. It's just a fun little movie that unfortunately nobody went to go fucking see. So
I have not gone to see it, and I feel guilty because, like, look, I guess I shouldn't feel too guilty. I wanted them to stop making Transformer movies because, like, they look terrible. You know, based off of what I saw of the first one, which was the best one, supposedly, according to most people.
Yeah, like if you look at the previous five, like the Transformer series of movies, out of those first five that Michael Bay directed, that first one is the best. So they just get progressively worse from there.
And I couldn't get to that one, right? But I remember seeing a trailer for this one. I was like, that looks like a movie. That looks like an idea. That looks like there's a heart. There's an emotion. There's a story there, you know.
There's a lot more heart and emotion than you would expect. It's a bit goofy. There are, like, you know, at its core, it's like a family type film.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I just remember what I heard it compared to.
But for the most part, it works. Like, even the goofy stuff, like there's this really weird car chase where John Cena, he plays like this army dude. He is chasing after Bumblebee and Charlie, who's Haley Steinfeld's character. They have left like this army base, and he's chasing them down. And Charlie's stepdad and mom and brother are like going there because they found out she's going to be there, and they're really angry with her. But then, like, when they see the army chasing her, and they know that Bumblebee's a robot at this point, when they see the army chasing her, like, they just like get in the way. So it's like this goofy kind of slapstick almost, but it plays really well. And because of the actual character progression that they've had, it works. Like it's like, yeah, that's cool. Like, it's stupid. It's really dumb and goofy, but it works. It's like you feel good coming out of that movie. And I don't know. I certainly can't say that about any of the other Transformers movies. I certainly was not like happy coming out of it. Like, maybe the first one. I was like, yeah, that's
acceptable.
Cool. Like, yeah, like, hey, that first one was like giant robots beating the shit out of each other. That's kind of fun. But this is more like this has like an emotional core that actually works. And I really liked it like a lot. If you get a chance, I would go see it. So
I will see it. If not in the theater, I will see it. I will see it for sure. I saw a movie that actually, like, it made me thankful that we, like, didn't just get movies like Transformers or, you know, Marvel shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Assassination Nation, if I said that correctly.
Yep.
Assassination Nation. And it's a movie you had recommended, but I did not expect it. Like, first of all, like, that movie, like, is so under the radar. It's ridiculous. It should not be that under the radar. There should be people pushing that shit on Twitter, because I loved it. I think I liked it even more than you. I forgot what you gave it, Chris.
I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it 5 right off the bat, just to tell you. I fucking love that movie. Like, I love the fact, like, it's one of those movies, like, that's trying to be edgy and hip and, like, kind of a movie like Kids. Like, you know, remember that movie Kids from back in the 90s? Like, something like that, where it's, like, trying to almost be shocking and all that, right? Like, as I was watching it, I was like, this is, like, Spring Breakers meets fucking, God, what's the other movie I'm thinking of? Shit, I don't even remember.
It definitely has a Spring Breakers vibe to it.
It has Spring Breakers vibe, but it's also going for something else, too. Oh, like The Purge. Because, like, yeah, it, like, turns into at the end, this... Yeah. Like, thing where, like, everyone's gone nuts and they're trying to kill each other, which is what The Purge does. But in The Purge, it doesn't make any sense because it's just like, oh, people just want to do it to each other.
Right. Like, these people have a reason to want to go out, yeah, and, like, fuck people over because, like, they've been exposed. Like, their bad deeds, they're cheating, they're lying.
Yes.
All their bad deeds has been exposed online. Yes. And so, like, hey, you found out that your wife was sleeping with somebody or your boyfriend was sleeping with somebody, you're going to go get revenge. Like,
and it's just like, it's the slightest push from just, hey, go do whatever. Yep. It's like, hey, go do something because you think there's a reason you should do it. Like, it's just, I've had this thing lately with, like, these internet movies. Like, we spoke about this before. Like, I feel like they're really on to this sort of mob mentality thing. And it's not just mob mentality. It's also like this, the anonymous nature of the internet. Like, that you could, like, this, there's people who could, like, unite against you, and the internet is coming for you, right? Like, that idea, I think, is very, like, it's, like, based in reality to me. Like, there was, like, an article I read this week about, like, this, there's, like, these groups that are luring, like, they're doing their own To Catch a Predators, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they, like, lured this one 20-year-old kid, and he went and, like, hanged himself after they did it. I'm just like, that sounds just like a lot of horror movies that I've seen. Like, it's just like, I don't know, man. So, but I think Assassination Nation, like, is one of the better examples of these types of movies. Like, I think it has an amazing amount of style and intelligence. And I don't know, I was kind of, like, blown away by this movie. Like, I think you might even have said, like, when you reviewed it, like, I think you would like this, you know?
Yeah. It's
a Jeff movie.
It kind of just came and went real quick, which is a shame, but
it does not deserve, it deserves, yeah, like this is a, like, whatever, like, you know, we come in on it 4 or 5, whatever. This is a movie that should be taught in film classes. Like, it actually should probably be taught in, like, shit outside of film, because, like, what it's touching on is, like, where we're going as a culture, I think. It makes this really bad indictment of, like, basically, its assessment is, like, the internet is a thing that's making us worse as a people, right? And that's the idea behind a lot of these, like, internet thrillers, right? It's like amplifying the worst things about us.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel that. Like, there's an awesome part, like, there's an awesome line in Assassination Nation where it's, like, she says that, like, someone famous once said that 10% of people are cruel and 10% of people are kind. And the other 80% of people can be convinced either way, And I think that's a totally accurate statement. That's me saying that. I think that's a totally accurate statement. But then she says, I doubt that that lady ever saw Twitter. Like, right. And I'm just like, that hit me like a ton of bricks where I was just like, yeah, dude, like people are animals. Like we're fucking terrible to each other. Like, I don't know. Like, I think this, it's just so rare to see a movie that had like this much style and something to say. And it goes crazy and becomes an awesome genre movie too. Like I fucking dug Assassination. I love that movie. It was great. 5 stars, Chris.
Nice.
I don't know if you had anything more you wanted to say. I know, like you did review it on here.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. Glad you liked it.
I love it. I love the soundtrack too. I called the ending where he says. Do you remember what the kid says at the end? Like, they're like, why did you do this?
Oh, was it Fertile Owls?
Yes. Yeah. So, like, we're watching it, and they're, like, doing the questioning. And this is kind of spoilers, but whatever it is, you know. My girlfriend, I said to my girlfriend, I'm like, he's going to say Fertile Owls. And then he goes, I don't know. Fertile Owls. And then after that, it cuts to this marching band doing fucking Miley Cyrus's "We Can't Stop and We Won't Stop." Like it was like an awesome like marching band version of that,
right?
That goes through the whole credits. That like we sat there and watched the whole credits because of how good that like the soundtrack is really cool too. So, anyways, I really like that movie. I might own that movie someday. So. Happy you recommended it, put it on my radar. What was your you have one more, don't you?
I got one more. It's the big one that's been holding down the box office championship for the last couple weeks, and that's Aquaman.
My girlfriend loved it, by the way, just saying.
Yeah, it's good. It's I don't know if I love it.
She loved Jason Momoa was.
I loved Amosis. Amber Heard. Amber Heard's beautiful in this, and I could see where women or dudes might also love Jason Momoa.
She said every time he looked over his shoulder, she loved it.
Yeah, he has this, much like The Rock. He has this style.
Charisma.
There's just this like charisma that oozes off of him. Like no matter what he does, like he just looks cool doing it.
Yeah.
This is a movie full of style. It's fun. It is like a giant mishmash of like tons of different movies, though. It's like the Fast and Furious mixed with Star Wars, mixed with Lord of the Rings. Like, it's nuts. there's a giant fucking, like, at one point he is on top of like this Kraken type monster, like leading a charge against like his half brother, who is the ruler of Atlantis, as he is trying to take him over. It is astounding looking.
There's people riding seahorses.
Seahorses, dolphins, sharks.
Is it really?
Like, I mean,
people riding seahorses?
Something that looks like it, I am sure. Like, they're crabs. They're riding, like, giant crabs.
That's awesome.
Sharks that like shoot missiles out of them. I don't know. Like it's nutso.
What?
I don't think there were people riding sharks. I don't think they were shooting missiles out of them. But they have these like amazing looking water ships that do shoot like lasers and missiles and stuff. And I don't know. It's nutso fun. I think it's up there with like the best of the superhero movies.
Really?
I think like, honestly, for years I've gone around going like Aquaman is a lame superhero.
Well, I mean, that's been the joke. That's, yeah.
Cause he kind of is like his powers. He fucking talks to fish. Like they've certainly modified that over the years, but and they make a couple very good jokes about him being able to talk to fish in this. But it's more than that. Like they do some great stuff with like ancient technology that is advanced past where we are,
mixed with like Atlantis type shit.
Mixed with that, and a lot of it takes place in the ocean. Like there's not a lot of like on. There's a lot of stuff that takes place on land, but a lot of it doesn't deal with like land people. It more deals with Aquaman and Mira, who is the soon to be queen of Atlantis. Willem Dafoe is in it. He is hamming it up as this the vizier Volko. Patrick Wilson as King Orm, who is Arthur Aquaman's half brother. He gives a fun performance. Dolph Lundgren is in this as Mira's dad.
That's right. I heard about that. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman plays Arthur's mom. She looks wonderful and gives like a tough as nails performance too. Like she comes across like super strong. In fact, that's one thing here that like I can like. It's not, Aquaman needs to save the pretty woman. Like Mira is just as strong as Aquaman is, as Arthur is. Like she is just as strong. Atlanta, which is Nicole Kidman, who is Arthur's mom, she is stronger than Arthur's dad, because he's just a regular human. Like they don't fuck around. Like it's like everybody from Atlantis is badass. And like, hey, we have all this really cool technology, but we're gonna fight with fucking like pitchforks and shit. Like, it's fun. It's a blast. I mean, I don't remember what the fucking story. Like they had to go find some fucking. I don't remember any of it. It was. Like they have to go to the desert to get some fucking Spear of Destiny type bullshit.
There's a thing they need to put in things, stop people. After seeing every Marvel movie, dude.
That's really my problem. It's honestly kind of just like it's all that shit bundled together, but just like visual tour de force.
But fun. Yeah.
And it's like a fun blast. Like and I think like some of the best Marvel movies are that as well. Yeah. They're fun. Like you come out like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but like it was cool to look at. Like that shit blew up really cool over there, and there was a fucking flying horse over here or something. It's like it's just cool. Like I don't know, everything about this movie is cool. I don't remember shit about like the main like outside of hey, we have to go get this thing.
So it's already faded. Yeah.
Like other than like Arthur needs to beat his brother because his brother wants to wage war on this. On land, and there is like a couple moments of where they're like, hey, we're bad people, like the land people, us, like humans, because we dump so much shit into the oceans. And one of the things here that Arthur's brother does, King Orm, they collect it all and throw it back at us. So it's just like ships are getting all fucked up because they've thrown all like there's this great tsunami scene early on where this is happening. That's it's really cool. Like everything about it, all the scenes are really cool. It's I don't know, the substance is just whatever, but it's fun. It's a blast. I would watch it again and still be like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but that was cool.
That's what I hear from like a lot of people, and that's why from my girlfriend, she loved it. She absolutely loved it. But she also loved Night School, so I don't trust her. So
I have not seen Night School yet.
I have not seen it either, but like I just have a general distrust of what she says. But she did say
you don't like Kevin Hart either, so
that's true. It just looks dumb. Like
it does.
But yeah, she said Aquaman was a lot of fun, and she obviously she loved Aquaman. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Melissa, I can't live up to Aquaman. But anyways.
It'd be really hard to. So.
I think that's it for this week there, Chris. For next week, I don't know. I don't fucking know.
I am going to try and see Escape Room.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to try. We'll see how that plays out. And I may have seen Bird Box and Bandersnatch by then.
There's a movie I suggest that we both watch. And I have not watched it. I have not watched it yet, so I don't know if it's I like it or not. But I saw a trailer for it. Like I saw someone say, "Hey, this movie's on Hulu now." I was like, "Okay," and you know, there's a trailer for it. Like I checked it out. It's a movie called Support the Girls. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's called Support the Girls, and to me, it looked like Clerks, except Clerks at Hooters.
Okay.
So imagine a group of girls at Hooters, and it follows like one day at their job at Hooters. Now they don't call it Hooters, but something like that. Like,
double whammies.
Yes, that's the idea. That's the idea of the movie, though. Is like you follow, and it's about like this manager who like she wants to like treat them right, but maybe like things are not going right. Like that's kind of what I got out of like the synopsis.
I thought
that sounds like to me it reminds me a lot of Clerks, you know, like, and also some other things. And I like that type of movie. I like one day at a job type movies, you know what I mean? Like, or like, yeah. You know, I mean, I guess Clerks kind of invented that to me, you know what I mean? Like, and that's so I was like, that looks really cool. Well, it looks like a evolution of that. So
nice.
I'm gonna try to check that out, and if you get a chance, yeah. Okay, yeah, I think it is on Hulu, hopefully. So, yeah, we'll see. And basically, I'm counting the days until. Well, I'm gonna see Venom as well, too, Chris. By the way,
okay.
So, finally get to win on that.
It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. But I'm counting the days till Glass, and that's not too
soon.
Far off,
it's not too far away.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's some of what you can look forward to next week and then weeks to come. Glass, baby.
Yeah, we have some stuff planned. Maybe. I mean, not full, oh yeah. Fully formed,
no, that's no. Let's talk about it right here before we go. I forgot to bring it up. So my idea for the year. Going forward, Chris, I love doing these franchise reviews. It's fun, right?
Yeah.
So my idea is for most of 2018, and, you know, we don't have to, like, be crazy about it, but, like, doing franchise reviews. How do you feel about that? Like,
we can try it.
like I kick a franchise to you. I say, Chris, let's review all the Kickboxer movies.
Jesus Christ.
I can't even talk.
Kickboxer, yeah.
Yes. Let's watch Kickboxer. That's a horrible one to try to repeat. Let's watch all of those. And you say, okay. And then we do that. And then, you know, we don't have to, like, right away have another one lined up. But then it goes to be your turn. And let's say a month later you go, I want to see all of the Land of Before Time movies.
Jesus Christ.
And then you kick it to me. We do that. And then, you know, that's how we do. How do you feel about that?
We could try that. Right? I think we should maybe not do a series that has 14 entries, but yes.
I will not. I am just going to say right now, I'm not going to nominate Land Before Time.
Okay.
But I guess... That's something I would like to do. How do you feel about that? It sounds like fun, right?
Yeah, that's doable. I think that could be a good time.
Like, you know, I don't want to make it a thing where, like, every week we have to watch stuff, but we can kick series back and forth.
We'll bounce a couple around.
So I'll leave it up to you, Chris. Like, I'll let you be able to nominate first, and once you decide to nominate, we'll do it. We'll decide how we'll do it and whatnot. Right. No rules to it, but we'll do some more series this year.
And we have gotten some suggestions from listeners and fans.
And I have ideas.
All right.
As you know, kickboxer one.
I had not heard the kickboxer one, but now I know.
I'm bringing it up. So look forward to that as we go throughout the year and keep tuning in because it's going to get fun. Movie dudes.